ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। कुशलेनानुसज्जते त्यागी सत्त्वसमाविष्टः त्यागी सत्त्वसमाविष्टः मेधावी छिन्न संशयः मेधावी छिन्न संशयः न द्वेष्य कुशलं कर्म कुशलेनानुसज्जते त्यागी सत्त्वसमाविष्टः मेधावी छिन्न संशयः न हि देहभृता शक्यम् नहि देहभृता शक्यम् त्यक्तुं कर्माण्यशेषतः त्यक्तुं कर्माण्यशेषतः यस्तु कर्मफलत्यागी यस्तु कर्मफलत्यागी सत्यागीत्यभिधीयते सत्यागीत्यभिधीयते नहि देहभृता शक्यम् त्यक्तुं कर्माण्यशेषतः यस्तु कर्मफलत्यागी सत्यागीत्यभिधीयते अनिष्टमिष्टं मिश्रं च अनिष्टमिष्टं मिश्रं च त्रिविधं कर्मणः फलं त्रिविधं कर्मणः फलं भवत्यत्यागिनां प्रीत्य भवत्यत्यागिनां प्रीत्य न तु सन्न्यासिनां क्वचित् न तु सन्न्यासिनां क्वचित् अनिष्टमिष्टं मिश्रं च त्रिविधं कर्मणः फलं भवत्यत्यागिनां प्रीत्य न तु सन्न्यासिनां क्वचित् पञ्चैतानि महाबाहो पञ्चैतानि महाबाहो कारणानि निबोधने कारणानि निबोधने साङ्ख्ये कृतान्ते प्रोक्तानि साङ्ख्ये कृतान्ते प्रोक्तानि सिद्धये सर्वकर्मणा सिद्धये सर्वकर्मणा पञ्चैतानि महाबाहो कारणानि निबोधने साङ्ख्ये कृतान्ते प्रोक्तानि सिद्धये सर्वकर्मणा अधिष्ठानं तथा कर्ता अधिष्ठानं तथा कर्ता करणं च पृथग्विधं करणं च पृथग्विधं विविधाश्च पृथक्चेष्टाः विविधाश्च पृथक्चेष्टाः दैवं चैवात्र पञ्चमं दैवं चैवात्र पञ्चमं अधिष्ठानं तथा कर्ता करणं च पृथग्विधं विविधाश्च पृथक्चेष्टा दैवं चैवात्र पञ्चमम्। The last three verses of chapter 18, the Visa last was talking about tamasic, rajasic and sattvic renunciation. Tamasic renunciation is a relinquishment of obligatory action arising out of delusion. That comes from delusion. That is called tamasic. A person not doing what he or she ought to do out of delusion. That is tamasic. So, in this context we discussed about that example of a lady throwing approximately 100,000 ringgits Saudi Arabian dinar into the garbage chute. But later in Shiva, so it is her brother of money who had visited her through the money, because he didn't know there was money inside that newspaper packet which was kept inside that freezer. She had kept it, saved it, because there, in the Islamic banks, you don't get much interest. Firstly, there is no interest. So there is no point in keeping in the bank. She thought she would save it inside the freezer. And this lady would come home, was hungry, searching for food. And he thought there is something inside and took it out. The newspaper was swelling badly. So that food inside is spoiled and he threw it through the garbage chute. Then when she came back, she called the municipality and somehow got the money back. So when you see somebody throwing that kind of money, you think that is a great renunciate. He is not knowing the value inside. Without knowing the value of what you are giving away, you give it away. Out of ignorance, out of delusion. So that sort of a renunciation is tamasic. Rajasic renunciation, he said, when you give up something due to the difficulty involved in it, so you know the value and you have the value for it, but you are not ready to pay the price for it. And therefore you say, what is the money? To earn money, to be a businessman, there are a lot of difficulties that one needs to go through. So you say, what is earning money? You are interested in money. You know what money can buy. All that you are really interested in, you have value. But you say there is nothing in money. Money can come, money will go, all that you talk. Because there is difficulty in earning that. And such a renunciation of giving up your obligatory actions due to the fear of difficulty, pain involved in that action. That is called rajasic. Sattvic is, actually there is no giving up here. In short, there is no giving up of action. If at all there is giving up of the attachment to the fruit. Attachment to the fruit and egocentric desires and egoistic attitude. The doership. I am doing, that you give up. So you know the value, but you have no value for it. You have higher value, therefore you don't have value for the lower things. There is no attachment. This is called sattvic. So tamasic is, without knowing the value, you give up. Rajasic is, you know the value and you have the value, but due to difficulty, you give it up. That is rajasic. Sattvic is what? You know the value, what it can buy, but you have no value for it because you have higher values. And due to that, you are detached from it. You simply do what you want to do. You detach your ego, and that is called sattvic tyag, sattvic renunciation. So when you read the sattvic renunciation that he gives in verse number 9, he says, whatever obligatory action which ought to be done, indeed performed, O Arjuna. So when he talks about renunciation, he is talking about performance, not giving up. So we have mentioned it to you before that renunciation is not giving up, it is growing up. Please understand this. It is not giving up but growing up. When you grow to the higher values, you have no values for the lower. As a result, your mind's attachment to the lower is gone. You simply function. Your focus is on the higher. See, when you have a vision and purpose for the nation, let's say, and you are pulling in all your resources and directing it towards the welfare of the nation, for the well-being of all the countrymen, then your personal loss and profit doesn't matter to you. You write about that. Therefore, you are not looking at it from your personal desire being fulfilled. You know, in fact, the fact that you have that higher goal, you are inspired and you work using your intellect. As a result, you may get the results of personal ambitions also fulfilled, but you have risen above all of them. That is called sattvic renunciation. So it is not giving up but growing up. So a lot of people fear Vedanta because it will talk about renunciation. But actually, what is renunciation? Performance of obligatory actions that need to be done. In fact, in the first chapter of Gita, Arjuna wanted to run away.
Arjuna was ready to give up the action. But Shri Krishna pursued him and told him, giving the logic, that giving up this obligatory duty, you will incur sin. Arjuna's logic was, if I do this action, which may happen, which may end up in killing Bhishma, Drona, such people who were good people, I would be committing sin. That was his argument. And Shri Krishna gives completely opposite logic and says, if you actually neglect what you ought to do because of your personal attachment, that you will be ending up in doing sin, committing sin. Ulta. This is what he said. Out of delusion you give up. No. You have a lot of delusions, confusions sound. Therefore you give up action.
But killing good is delusion?
Yes. Because killing good means you don't kill just like that, go on the road and then catch hold of everybody and kill. That is different. In the context here, whether they are individually good or bad is not the point. The point is, you are collectively fighting for a righteous cause. There happens to be on the other side few people who are soldiers, therefore they have to fight for the country which has declared war. So you may individually, if you look at them, they may be good people, Bhishma, Drona, etc. But you have no personal interest to murder them. Like for example, the intention of the person who is fighting has no personal motive. That is all he is trying to say, Krishna here. So you being a Kshatriya, you have to stand up and protect righteousness. Simply do it in the interest of the country. You have no personal vengeance towards the other side. And they may individually happen to be good people, but you have no sin incurred because of that. So Arjuna looked at it from that angle. Individually good people. So individually good people or bad people doesn't matter. Do you have intention to kill them personally? Is there any personal motive? Since there is no personal motive, since there is no mensriya, you have not committed the sin. You understand? So the soldier, for example, even from the worldly angle, a soldier is just going and fighting because the war is declared. He has no personal motive against the opposite soldiers. There is no personal motive. He is simply doing his duty. He is risen above his personal ego, therefore there is no sin. So in short, sin is not in the action, it is in the intention, it is in the reaction that comes. So if your intention is negative, then it comes back and hits you as a reaction, as a guilt feeling. That is sin. You understand? So therefore he says that Shri Krishna there. So out of lot of confusion, delusion, very clear knowledge is not there. Arjuna's delusion was what? Per se killing people and that too good people is sin. Are you kidding? So per se killing good people or people is not sin. What is the intention behind? What is that? That decides. Always remember, when there is a conflict between the lower and the higher, the lower needs to be sacrificed. Whenever there is a conflict between lower and the higher, the lower needs to be sacrificed.
What is an example for that?
You have a personal relationship. Arjuna had a personal relationship with Bhishma. Right? It's a lower. But in the interest of the nation, he had to do what is to be done. Personally, obviously he is very indebted to Bhishma, very indebted to his own guru. But in the context of the nation, in the context of the higher purpose, he had to rise. So this should be clear. But many times a lot of confusion happens. Then you give up the action. In the other case, that kind of confusion is not there. But difficulty happens. The difficulty is stopping you from doing, then that becomes rajasic. A lot of people talk, you know, what is in this, what is, suddenly you become a philosopher. Right? What is in money? What is in name? What is in fame? Technically, if you analyze that statement philosophically, it's correct only. What is there in money, what is there in name, fame and all that. But why have you given it up? Because of difficulty in what? Face the challenge and stand up is the difficulty.
In the case of, say, Bhishma, Drona, they also inherently, the intention is good. But So which duty is higher, whether they follow their king or what they do is good for their nation? Because they also know fighting the war for Duryodhan is not good for, I mean, he's not right. They know that he is wrong.
As a soldier, see, the moment Bhishma renounced his throne and accepted that I will be just a soldier, a soldier's duty is to follow the instructions of the commander.
Which duty is higher? The command, like to follow his king even if he is wrong, or to follow?
As a soldier, you have to follow. As a soldier, you have to follow. You cannot, but
how do you discriminate which duty is higher? Like, that's what I'm confused about. That is to it's his duty as a soldier to follow his king, but it's his duty as a person also to follow what is right for the kingdom.
Then you should renounce. See, if you have a choice, if you have a choice to renounce. See, in short, if you start thinking like a Brahmana, supposing you start thinking like a Brahmana, then you technically become a Brahmana now. That's a different matter. But if you continue as a soldier, you can't continue as a soldier and then go against the decision of the commander. The leader only decides, you withdraw. And completely, you cannot go against. See, in the case of Ramayana, in Ramayana's story also, there are two brothers, Vibhishna and Kumbhakarna. Vibhishna went to the other side. Kumbhakarna also went and told Ravana what you're doing is wrong. Having said that, still Ravana went to war. Kumbhakarna fought for Ravana and died. So two examples. Kumbhakarna always was brought up as a minister. Are you with me? Sorry, Vibhishan was always brought up as a minister. Kumbhakarna was brought up as a soldier. So he, though he voiced his opinion, he fought for Ravana and died as a soldier. But as a minister, he also told Ravana what they are doing is wrong. But when Ravana said, no, we are going ahead with the war, he went to the other side. Are you with me? So it depends on the role. But also, let me tell you, when your intellect starts thinking really sharp, you can take the decision. But if you take the decision, you can continue and Kshatriya and join the other side. But that I don't think so is correct.
Actually, adding to this question, maybe relevant to some of us, that's why I'm asking it, is that they in a family environment or in any institution environment or whatever, if the head of that institution or head of the family, we know it, you know, it's obvious. It's not our Brahman buddhi, but it's obvious that it's not right. The action is not right. The intention, the niyat is not correct. Then what is one do? It's the same situation as one was saying about the king versus the
large of
good of, and the same way if you bring it to a, you know, smaller environment, then if people like us get caught up in that, then
see, it will be better if we get into little specifics, because what happens generally, many things cannot be said. But having said that, now just because he is the head of the family, right, doesn't mean he or she does all sorts of atrocity and everybody has to abide by that. No. Now, when the head of the family is doing atrocity, you will continue partaking of the benefits that comes out of the atrocity. Then, when a situation comes that you also have to pay for it, you can't say no. Are you with me? Or from the beginning itself, you say, no, this is not correct and I will not partake of the benefit that comes from that also. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
You
cannot have the best of the both. That's all I'm trying to say. Many times what happens, he is wrong, you put him in jail, right? But all the, when you knowingly, supposing you unknowingly like a child, growing in that family, part of the benefits brought from that atrocities, that's a different matter. But knowingly, you know that person is doing all nonsense. Right? And it was convenient for you, because the benefits are coming. Therefore, you continued saying that he is wrong, but I'm not interfering. Right? But when the repercussions come, then you cannot say that I will not. You partook the benefits knowingly.
So where does Vibhishan fit in this? He also took all the benefits.
No.
He
stood up and he went there.
It was much later. When he went to war?
Not when all the nonsense stayed. From the beginning he has been telling him.
Yeah.
When he did not listen, then he left. He stood up for it.
He took a call. He didn't.
But that was much later.
No.
At the time of war.
But
till then he was a minister.
Because he was trying to convince him.
He didn't like a convincer.
He was always trying to convince him. He always stood up against him.
Hmm.
It's not that suddenly last minute he stood up.
He won't like suddenly say, okay, now I don't agree, so I'll leave it. First he tries to advise his king and say, turn it the other.
He did his job as a minister for which he is being taken care of. It's not that he did not. He always said to Ravan, he always thought he can convince him. A long row, always, you apply all different methods to convince a person. In fact, when any two people...
Ravan.
Ravan, of course. So, the thing is, therefore in Vibhishana's case, I don't think so he took the benefit in last minute, suddenly he shifted here. He's always been consistent. Kumbhakarna also is like, actually. Kumbhakarna, the only thing is he was sleeping for 6 months. He sleeps long. But otherwise, he also stood up. He also said what he is doing is wrong. But, see, having said all this now, sometimes it appears as if I am a lawyer of Bhishma and Drona when I gave his answer. But having said all this, Bhishma and Drona, Krishna in fact tells them, you did not stand up in the court when Draupadi was disrobed. For that you deserve this. Because as a person you should have stood up there. You know?
Yeah, that's for what.
In fact, Vikarna, one of the brothers of Duryodhana, he stands up. Neither Karna, if you go for as per the story, Vikarna is one of the brothers of Duryodhana. He stands up. Right? But neither Bhishma nor Drona, Karna, none of
them. Dhritarashtra benefits of, I mean,
Duryodhana.
Karna
was Pandava Satyodhana. Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira benefits
of. How?
He says he watches and he still wins.
He doesn't benefit, but he
has what is
wrong.
I don't understand what she's saying.
The war is won by the Pandava.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he's there, he's put her to Dao, he sees it all happening.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the end result that he gets? He's not punished.
Even in terms of karma.
Yeah.
So in terms of the law of karma, Yudhishthira, he could have stopped it. He could have
started it.
He was the one who put her.
He was on his way to die.
And put her Shakuni, and he did all that, and he put her to Dao, his own
wife.
Kingdom, everything he put to Dao.
Was not
so what happened to the... So we don't
they went through the karma.
No, but then
they went through the whole thing. What was the whole thing that they went through?
Exactly.
Everything. 12 years, the disrobing of his wife. It was hurting him, na? It was not that he was laughing when she was being disrobed.
But he couldn't stop.
That's what I'm saying. You paid it. You
He paid that.
You said karma. You're asking me from karma angle, right? Karma is what? He did the action. And they paid for it, dearly. All of them wait for it.
This is the way you know at the end.
Pardon?
Not for this act.
For what?
Not for this act.
No. Yeah.
It's a huge thing for which his brothers have to pay.
Everybody has to pay because they are passive. See, if you are passive, you will pay.
No, none of them should have that time.
It's a law.
Yeah, that's right.
See this thing.
But there is this law.
Huh?
I really like that. You should etch it in gold.
What?
Brothers
and brothers.
So if you're
passive,
then
you
pay.
Yeah. Of course.
You will pay. So again, here also same thing. What is the duty to the elder brother or the duty to stand up for what is right? They should have...
That's not the problem. The problem is... See, the problem is everybody's intellect is not fully developed to that height. See, you need to understand this. The chicken flies, you know, chicken also flies, but it goes up to this and then to this side. It can only fly up to this height, chicken. Peacock maybe a little more, a pigeon, eagle soars high in the sky, are you with me? So everybody's intellect level also is different. So what happens is all these people, their intellect functions up to a point. After that, they are stopping. You understand? This is the problem. Whenever there is this intellectual discussion, what happens is, somebody's intellect functions, so he sees from that angle, he functions from that level. It's a small circle. Are you with me? There is another person whose intellect is extremely developed. He sees from that angle. He gets lot of vision, broader perspective. From that angle he functions. Are you with me?
So
So that is the thing. So in all this, Krishna's perspective was, he tells them, what you did is wrong. But all these fellows, Pandavas, are absolutely passive now. But for Krishna, they would have lost this battle.
Yes.
You understand? And Arjuna, see the thing, he wants to go away from the battlefield. It's like walkover. He's giving the whole thing as a walkover, rather than standing up.
I think somewhere Krishna does say that you all do all these funny things and then I have to come in and take over. And do all sorts of...
Because that's the thing. The highest equipment in the human being is intellect. Right? And when intellect is used to think, you have a sharper intellect. You precisely see it from the total angle. So when you see it from the total angle, then even Bhishma, Drona, what did it is wrong. See, whenever convenient, Drona will talk about why did Drona not teach Ekalavya?
Because he was not a Kshatriya.
Who was Drona?
Drona was
Brahmana. Why is he teaching all this weaponry? Instead of being a Brahmana? See, this is very interesting, you know. The moment you get into this subject,
it's got,
you are one Brahmana. If you say by birth, Brahmana is determined. See, you take a stance and stick to that. See, whenever we have any discussion, there must be one stance to which we should all stick. Now, whether the stance is right or wrong, there is difference. Supposing I talk from this angle that Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, I welcome. Huh?
So, he was a guru.
How did he? That is what I am asking.
So, a Brahman is a guru.
Brahman, guru of what?
Of everything.
Totally, not definitely, you know.
Everything.
Brahmans are not
normal. They all have Parshuram and all have that. Who didn't have?
That is what I am trying to tell you.
All Brahmans have. Part of their totality.
I am not saying that. What I did say? I said...
You said why did he teach weaponry? So to that I am saying that he was a guru who was teaching them all Vidya.
Uh-huh.
My point
this,
was...
No, one thing, I'll come to that.
Yeah, but can we go back to Yudhishthira?
I will come there. But since we started this, let me tell you. I only said, when he said you are not by birth a Kshatriya, I will not teach. Then by birth you are also Brahmana. That's all I'm saying. Forget that. Now, if you come to Yudhishthira, of course they pay praise for their karma.
Why was Yudhishthira on a pedestal? He did nothing right. As far as Draupadi goes, it is wrong. As far as Narova, Kuncharova, he died. So why was he considered as a fantastic human being?
Who is considering him as a
fantastic human being?
Yudhishthira, everybody knows.
So for Draupadi, truth was very important. So he let her do what, let her happen, whatever happened. And then at the time of war, he quickly said Narova Kunjarova. I don't know whether Abhi kya naam was tha, Hatika or
Abhi
something. Yeah, who died? Yeah, he said I don't know whether it is because they said Yudhishthira to such that.
But then you don't know anything. No, they say also.
Because it's convenient. No, everywhere is convenient. Even the Ramayana, everything everywhere is matter of convenience. How was he great teacher?
Why is
orator of truth?
So the question is why is he doing a Satyavadi?
He is a Satyavadi, passive Satyavadi. I'm trying to tell you, please understand this. Whenever you read any story, right? A storyteller, even in the movies when they introduce, when they introduce a villain, there's a certain importance character given. He's introduced in a certain way. Like that, Yudhishthira had certain things, which is speaking the truth as it is.
One characteristic.
That is one characteristic he had. Similarly, one characteristic Karna had, which is to give. Right, like that, then they keep on highlighting. But when you look at the total, they were not perfect. So worldly people may consider Yudhishthira great. I mean, why should we think that Yudhishthira is greater? That doesn't mean he's small. In short, everybody had a lot of greatness. They also had a lot of shortcomings.
There's no black and white.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Duryodhana and this particular thing, he was really doing a lot of atrocious things. So in spite of even trying to have a negotiation with him, everything he was not agreeing with. Nothing he was agreeing. Then the bar was the only option, therefore they went to the war. So, when you say everybody is considering Yudhishthira as great means, if you ask me, Yudhishthira is great from one angle, that's all. To me, I am not saying he is not great, but I am not considering him as a perfect soul. No.
He has faults.
He has, of course he has his faults. Of course he has his faults.
So passive people are not good people and aggressive people?
No. If you watch a blind man walk into and fall into a ditch, who's at fault? You or the blind man? So you're seeing something that the blind guy can't see, and you do nothing to avert it.
You could have
avoided. Are you at fault as well?
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember the exact thing, but it's. I mean, I think that maybe that's what we're discussing about being passive. If you see a wrong being done.
And you don't
are, you, are you involved in
like
are you responsible
for this one? Absurdity, but it didn't do a thing. So,
see, please, and first of all, any discussion will go, please clarify the words. That's why I'm saying, when you say passive-aggressive, in Vedantic language, what we mean, I'll let me clarify that. Passive means using only the mind and not the intellect. Aggressive means using the intellect. If you are good natured, using the intellect, you become aggressively good. If you have negative tendencies and using the intellect, you become aggressively bad. You have good tendencies but not using your intellect, you become passively good. You have negative tendencies, not using the intellect, you become passively bad. So there are four categories based on this. Firstly, broadly two categories, good, bad. Then passively good, aggressively good. Passively bad, aggressively bad. Okay? So these Pandavas are completely passively good. Krishna, aggressively good. Duryodhana, aggressively bad. Right? Now, when we say Duryodhana is bad, it doesn't mean that he has not done any good at all. In the area of his attachment, he has also done a lot of good things. He was, in fact, when you read Kamala Subramaniam's Mahabharata, she very beautifully says that, in fact, under his rule, people were quite happy. You understand? But it's like this, you know, you keep them happy so that
you are not questioned.
So, this is aggressively good, tactically. You understand? He always puts himself ahead of everything else. But he has to dole out certain things so that he can continue. That sort of a thing he was doing. So why I am saying this is what we mean by passive aggressive. Usage of intellect, if you do not use, you will suffer. Whoever it is. You are good, bad, doesn't matter.
So Bhishma and Drona will come in passively good.
To that extent, yes.
To some.
Yes, of course. You should stand up when you need to. Within what is possible. Are you with me? So, that is why I'm saying, whenever you have any discussions intellectually, you must understand that some people can only see at that level. That doesn't mean they are wrong. But that is the level to which, see, it's like you're climbing a mountain. Everest is somewhere else. You keep on climbing one peak and another peak. So when you are at a certain peak, you can only see certain things. When you go to the next level of peak, you get another vision. You understand? So that's why dharma is, whenever we talk about dharma, it's extremely complicated. We have a amount of dharma. And in dharma also, certain situations, what is dharma from certain situations, from another situation that becomes not dharma. Are you with me? So, if you have that intellect, then you will see and function. Otherwise, you will be sticking to that dharma. For example, speaking the truth.
Sorry?
Speaking the truth. Of course we need to speak the truth. Right? Now, if we are having the class, if one young girl is running inside and going and hiding and suddenly she's saying, some gundas are coming to molest me. Please don't tell them that I am here. And she is hiding somewhere. Right? You are a Satyavadi. The Gundas are coming and asking, What are you going to say?
I'm going to protect her.
So, are you then not Satyavadi? So, I'm just giving one. So now, I will do analysis. Is this Gunda somebody whom I can handle? Either to my guard and myself or whatever way. Then I will say, listen, she is here only. You dare not touch her, I will finish you off. Supposing I say, no, these fellows cannot be touched now. And I need to protect the girl now. So therefore, I say, what girl are you talking about? I don't know anything. We are just studying. Don't disturb us. I don't become non-satyavadi. Are you with me? So always remember that we say dharma. Dharma is not static. It's dynamic. In our life also, in every sense also. So when you apply the dynamic dharma, then it's multidimensional. You need to look at it from that angle. Then we can come to certain understanding. And also whenever we judge any character in any story, even personally also, right? For example, they say even Mother Sita uttered certain words to Lakshman. When, you know, she said, your brother is in trouble, save him. He said, my brother cannot be in trouble. You forget about it, I am not going because he told me to protect you being here. Then she uttered certain words, Mother Sita. And they are terrible words, as per one interpretation of Ramayana, right? But if you take the entire character of Sita, there is a very small blemish here and there. Are you with me? So, it's very interesting. Like that, whenever we analyze any character, whether it's Yudhishthira, Arjun, anybody, you take the entire thing and then see the whole thing. Don't just take that one instance and then judging. Right? So when we take the entire thing and see, then you get some idea to judge anybody. I won't still use the word judge, assess. You understand? That's how we should see. Otherwise, the particular instance it looks so, the entire dharma when we see, entire character we see, then we get the idea. So, people may talk about Yudhishthira as somebody great or small. It's a character. He had a lot of greatness associated, no doubt. Arjuna also is a character. He also had a lot of greatness associated. Like that, everybody. Even in the opposition camp, they had a lot of great qualities associated to them. That's it. And we should not form this thing that they are really great. He being the eldest of the Pandavas, and as per the rule of that day, the throne goes to the person who was eldest. That's all. Not because he was great or anything. But definitely, he had certain blemishes, but he was more on the righteous side. There is no doubt about that. Similarly, if you see Duryodhana's character, he would have also had certain great qualities demonstrated many times. Right? But if you totally see his character, he always held on the egoistic side, ego-pampering side. He comes first. So, in that sense, we say righteous versus unrighteous. That's all. So, Krishna always saw from that angle only. That is why he said, okay, you both have come. Okay, for one side I'll give the army, one side I'll fight without weapon, whichever you want, you choose. You understand? So,
if Duryodhana had chosen Krishna, he would have been on his side.
He will not lose, he will not.
He is ego-determined.
If he chose Krishna on his side, he would have had to listen to what Krishna said. That's why he didn't want. He only wants, he doesn't want to listen to anybody. He only wants a force which he can command. He doesn't want to listen to anybody. Everybody has to listen to him. That was the ego. That is the typical character of an egoistic fellow. Isn't it? I just want people so that I can command them. That's all. So, knowing well his nature, he gave that option. And he chose that exactly the forces. Because if he had chosen Krishna, he had to listen to Krishna, what Krishna said. He will not.
Verse number 7 talks about tamasic, relinquishment and the other rajasic. So club them together So there is either ignorance which leads to that relinquishment.
Or difficulty.
Fear of difficulty. So if I apply to today's thing, it's fear of confrontation. Supposing someone is passive, like you said, passive must be. So supposing someone is passive in a circumstance where they shouldn't be passive.
Yes.
They should stand up, they, you know, all that. And the being passive, because it's convenient,
yes,
not to. So now this actually applies very relevant,
yes,
the way I see it, is that it is a fear of confrontation.
Yes.
It's a fear of, oh, what she might or he might, you know, I must appear goody-goody in front of everybody.
Correct.
So this all comes from fear, not from genuinely being good.
Yes.
So this sort of fits in very well.
Of course.
Verse number 7 and 8.
It's not just verse number 7 and 8, something has hit you today, but from day one we are saying the same thing. From day one we are saying, I am sure if you go and listen to all our classes which is there in your website, many times I would have certainly spoken about passive and aggressive. Many times. What I am trying to tell you here is, remember this. When you say fear of confrontation, you need to stand up. How you will do that, you need to use the psychology. That is what aggressive person will do. See, somebody is physically strong. You can't stupidly say, I will stand up confront. But sometimes you might have to do that. That's a different matter. Like Jamba won't get that for certain reasons. You understand? So anyway, what I'm trying to tell you is, you must always, in every situation, use your intellect, and your intellect must be in the line of dharma. And that is the difficulty. You are driving a car, you can't say just half a second let me close my eyes. I'm a little tired. Just half a second only I'm closing my eyes. Let the accelerator be on. Right? If you want, you get on the side and then sleep a little bit. But while you are driving even half a second, your eyes cannot be closed. Similarly, if you are living, you need to use your intellect. And intellect needs to be constantly fortified with higher knowledge. And that knowledge, when you have, you have a sharp intellect, and you have a broader perspective. So sharp but broad perspective you have, you see from that angle and then take the decision. And you are ready to change when the context changes. Not that you will stick to that and then stay there. You are ready. Are you with me? So that is why it is actually complicated when you talk about dharma. It's not as simple as that. Ethics and all that we talk, it's not as simple as that. Because there are a lot of other things that needs to be considered. Then we can say, in that context, what is dharma? But each one, especially Bhishma, Drona, you ask this question, they acted according to their level of intellect. That's all. From their angle. That's all. They did not really think from different level. Therefore the functionalism. We are also doing the same thing. That is the thing. From our level, we are also functioning the same. That's why in the area of doubt, in the area of ambiguity, in some crucial decisions, it's better you consult the higher intellect. It's better, you know, you consult the higher intellect. So you have to stand up, but how you stand up, you have to use your intellect. Physical, emotional, intellectual, combining all, what way you will stand up against it, you need to decide the strategy. You can't fight with the same weapon with against every enemy. Isn't it? That is the point. So now, 7, 8, 9. In all this we saw, 9 is the actual relinquishment. And in actual relinquishment, he is not talking about relinquishment of action at all. He is talking about relinquishment of attachment to the fruit doership. It's functioning as a spoke in the wheel of life. There's no prefix or suffix. Has to be done, done, that's it. There's no personal expectation. In the poem called Hedonia by William Wordsworth, it's a big poem where wife's attachment to husband destroying the relationship, destroying the mental peace is being discussed there. There's another poem by Robert Browning where husband is attached to wife. It's called Antidote. Another poem where father and son are attached to each other. That's Swarabhrushta by Matthew Arnold. Three poems Swamiji has picked up and put in Select English Poems book. In that, the Ladomia poem talks about Protosilos, who is part of Greek Armada. And the Greeks are having war against Trojans. And the Greek Armada, when it reaches the Trojan shore, there's an oracle that says, whosoever gets on first and lands on the Trojan soil will die. And there's a debate going on amongst the people. If they make the strongest person get down, they lose it. If they make the weakest person get down, the Trojans will laugh at them. So what should we do? As they are discussing, the poet says, Protosilos simply jumped. Simply jumped. You have a higher goal, simply jump. Whatever consequences come, I'll face it. That doesn't mean you blindly close your eyes and jump. Of course you will keep your eyes open and continue. So there will be planning, programming, executing, everything. But all that Sri Krishna is trying to say in the Gita is that rise above your limited self at every level. If your limited self is risen to the level of your family, rise above that. If your limited self has not even come to the level of family, it is only you, then raise it to the level of family. If your limited self is now comfortably at the level of family, which majority of us is, so let's rise it from the level of family to community, country, humanity, entire species, etc. Are you with me? So therefore, when you keep rising and you leave aside your personal pleasures and pains and function, that is called true renunciation, and that is exactly what is called as true action also. So true action and true renunciation are one and the same. Later on he is going to talk about the sattvic action, because he will talk about sattvic action, rajasic action and tamasic action. So you will see sattvic action and sattvic renunciation talking the same thing. Let's go to the next verse. Nadveshtya kushalam karma, nadveshtya kushalam karma, kushale nanu sajjate, kushale nanu sajjate, tyagi sattva samavishtah, tyagi sattva samavishtah, medavi chinna samshayah, medavi chinna samshayah, nadveshtya kushalam karma, kushale nanu sajjate, tyagi sattva samavishtah, medavi chinna samshayah. The Tyagi, relinquisher, does not hate disagreeable action, nor is he attached to agreeable one. Meaning what? He has risen above his personal likes and dislikes. Whether it is agreeable to me or not agreeable to me, but this is something that ought to be done, a Tyagi will do it. Notice that. A Tyagi will do the action immaterial of whether it fits into his scheme of things, meaning his personal likes and dislikes. Being pervaded by sattva, purity, clarity. Being pervaded by sattva, purity means what? What is that? Anybody?
Being pervaded by sattva means non-attachment, doing one's actions without attachment, without duration.
the tamas and rajas is less. So there is more sattva. The desires are controlled by the intellect. They are less. As a result, his clarity is good. He is intelligent. His doubts are cut asunder. Therefore, with the clarity, what that person does? He simply does what ought to be done. He is not bothered about his personal life and intellect. The whole thing is conquering your personal likes and dislikes, standing up to the benefit of the total. That's all. That a sattvic person does. A tyagi renounces the personal likes and dislikes and not the action. Whereas a rajasic fellow will renounce the action. Why? It is difficult. Tamasic fellow is confused. What is to be done there is deluded. Therefore he will also renounce the action. Whereas a sattvic tyagi will not renounce the action. He will rather renounce his personal inconveniences. It's okay, it may be difficult for me, but I will still stand up and do it. That is the thing that he is trying to say. See, always put the higher beyond your little self. In fact, few years ago, they invited me to give a talk in one of the Rotaries, Central Rotary something. Usually these Rotary talks are for 10-20 minutes, isn't it? So they gave the topic which is their motto, which is, what is the motto of Rotary, you know? Service before self. That is their motto. So I said, self before service, I told them. Let's talk about it. Simply just to kindle their curiosity. So what I was trying to tell them that time was, you're right when you say service before self, which is what I'm also saying now. But nobody will put service before self unless they have grown out of their limited self and reached their higher self. When you travel into flight also, first thing what do they say? When at times of emergency, oxygen mask will fall, but help yourself, then help others. As long as we all remain identified with this limited self, I think I am this individual only, right? Then my base is not broad. My base is narrow. When my base is narrow, I will not put service before me. You think about it. You will say that service before self. But will you put service before self when you think you are small? No. You will put service before self only when your self is become broadened. When your roots have got strong. Therefore, to be able to put service before self, you need to first invest in yourself by gaining this knowledge. When you gain this knowledge, then you understand that you can look at your personality from the level of the body, from the level of your mind, from the level of your intellect, from the level of your atma. So when you keep on gaining this knowledge and you broaden your perspective about yourself, then you now understand that though at this level I am expressing myself as this little self called as Shivani, Shweta, etc. The deeper self, I understand that I am much bigger. And therefore, I rise above the little self when the context comes. Otherwise, I will not. Impossible. That is why we say, first you have to gain this knowledge and broaden your self-vision. Otherwise, you will not. Your mind is so small. Why will you rise above and do service? Even if you do service, it will be to get some name, fame, something. It may be emotional. Somewhere, it's myself. So where have you put self beyond, service beyond self? You will not. That is why we say, gain this knowledge. So, here he says, a tyagi got sattva as a result of knowledge, I'm coming to that point. As a result of that knowledge, he got sattva, clarity, purity. As a result, he puts the totality above his personal self. And therefore, there are certain things which are disagreeable, certain things which are agreeable, but in the total context, it needs to be done, therefore he or she does it. Not necessarily he is agreeing to it, but this is to be done, therefore he is doing. Next. Nahi dehavrita shakyam, nahi dehavrita shakyam, tyaktum karmanya sheshatah, tyaktum karmanya sheshatah, yastu karma falatyagi, yastu karma falatyagi, satyagitya vidhiyate, satyagitya vidhiyate, nahi dehavrita shakyam, tyaktum karmanya sheshatah, yastu karma falatyagi, satyagitya vidhiyate. Verily, it is not possible for the embodied to relinquish actions totally. But he who relinquishes fruit of action is called a tyagi. Arjuna asked, what is the difference between sannyasi and a tyagi? Krishna said, sannyasi and tyagi, what is the difference? He said, let's see. Because we have a gap and started the class, so I don't know how many of you studied and came. You can read now. Because I want you to read, not because I want to test you, so that you will retain. That was my only purpose, nothing else. So read the verses where Sri Krishna answers verse 2, 3 of the same chapter. Please read that. And read the translation loudly. Read it loudly.
Sages understand sannyas to be renunciation of desire-ridden action, the relinquishment of fruit of all action, and wise declared as tyag.
So, relinquishment of desire-ridden action is sannyas. Who is at a higher level? Tyagi is relinquishment of fruit of action. He is not at that level of sannyasi. Are you with me? But he is also relinquishing. What is he relinquishing? Relinquishing fruit. He may act, but he renounces the fruit.
And the sannyasi?
Even renounces the desire. The sannyasi has reached the height where he only dedicates himself for the brahmacharya. But the tyagi, he is still not reached that idea. He still has the desires at the worldly level. But what he does is, he gives a higher direction to his desire and renounces the fruit and works for the higher. That is the tyagi. This we discussed there. So, he is saying that here again, tyagi relinquishes the fruit of action. Fruit of action when he relinquishes means what? It doesn't mean that when the fruit comes, he says, okay, Baba, you take it. Relinquishment of fruit of action means what? Attachment to the fruit of action. That he relinquishes. Please understand this. So verily it is not possible for the embodied to completely stop action. Earlier also he said in the third chapter, it is not possible to stop acting by the embodied. Why? Because as long as you are there, you need to do some action. Inaction is death. Are you with me? You cannot stop action completely. Even a sannyasi will do something or other. He has his own routine. You may have a different routine, but he may have his own routine. Everybody must act. The obligatory actions of a sannyasi may be different from obligatory actions of a grihastha. But everybody has something to do. So nobody can stop acting. All that one can do is stop the attachment to the fruit. Constantly thinking, what will I get, what will I get, what will I get, am I getting it, getting it? No. Set a goal, plan, plunge. That's what a tyagi will do. Next. అనిష్టమిష్టం మిశ్రం చ అనిష్టమిష్టం మిశ్రం చ త్రివిధం కర్మణ ఫలం త్రివిధం కర్మణ ఫలం భవత్యత్యాగినాం ప్రీత్య భవత్యత్యాగినాం ప్రీత్య నతు సన్యాసినాం వచే నతు సన్యాసినాం వచే అనిష్టమిష్టం మిశ్రం చ త్రివిధం కర్మణ ఫలం భవత్యత్యాగినాం ప్రీత్య నతు సన్యాసినాం వచే. The threefold desirable, undesirable and mixed fruit of action accrues to non-relinquishers, atyagi, but never to renunciates, sannyasis. Sannyasi naam kochi. It will never happen to the sannyasis. See, all he is saying here is, whenever you do an action which is desire-ridden good actions will gain you punya. Desire-ridden bad actions or selfish actions will gain you paap. Right? Ishtam, anishtam. Punya, paap. And mishram. Mishram means mixture. Right? So, all of us, with our desire-ridden actions, we do sometimes desire-ridden good actions, sometimes we do desire-ridden selfish actions. Both we do. But all we are doing with desire. Therefore what happens? We get some punya also, some paap also. So we get mishiram. But for a sannyasi, since he has no desire in an action, there is neither punya nor paap. Because he is not doing from his personal desire. I am not... See, you have discussed this before, so recollect that. Gita lectures, classes are being done here. Could be done for getting some personal name. Oh, I get some following. You know, personal. Or I could have the desire, which is I must teach this Gita to everybody. It is good desire, but it is a desire. Right. Other is my nature is to talk, and I have studied the Gita which has benefited me, and as my nature, I have chosen to talk on Gita. Whoever invites me to talk, I teach them what I know to the best of my ability and get out. You have to make three angles. The first angle, selfishness. Second angle, unselfishness. Third angle, neither selfish nor unselfish, selfless. So if the teacher teaches with the third angle perspective, then no karma, no paap, no punya. Second angle, punya. First angle, paap. Selfish purpose ke liye. That's all he is saying. Anishtam, ishtam, mishram. So punya, paap and mixture. But for a sannyasi, all are not there. Why? Technically, what has he renounced?
The attachment.
The doership. As long as you are a doer, the enjoyership of paap punya is there. As long as you are not the doer. A common example we give is, in the court, judges given the, pronounce the judgment. He said, this fellow needs to be hanged. Right, and there is a hangman. He is doing his duty. He doesn't even know who is hanging. Right. He simply does his duty. He is neither paap nor punya. Why? Because he has renounced his doership. As long as you retain the doership, then there is what? Karma. When there is no doership, no karma. Remember this. So a sannyasi has renounced the doership. That's all Krishna is trying to say. So Krishna in the entire Gita is only asking you to renounce the doership and not the doing. Whereas out of ignorance you may renounce the doing, not doership. Out of knowledge you will renounce doership. What knowledge?
said.
So, how by gaining the self-knowledge you will renounce doership?
Sir, I am not Ami and I am not sure.
The self is not a doer. Remember the example. This is a very basic thing you got to remember. The example of petrol. Petrol. We have discussed this. If you want, please take notes because this is important. That is, no car moves without petrol. Yet petrol has no desire to go or not to go. So point number one, what is it? No car moves without petrol, yet petrol has no desire to go or not to go. Point number one. Point number two, the performance of the car depends on the engine, not petrol. Correct? Third point. The car meeting with an accident or reaching the destination safely, petrol is not responsible, but the driver. Teacher, petrol has no desire to move the car or not to move the car. Yet the car cannot move without petrol. Similarly, Atma, the self, has no desire to do or not to do, yet without the support of Atma, no action is possible. Therefore, Atma is a non-doer. And when you said, I gain the knowledge that I am not Ami, I am not Shweta, what it means is I am Atma. As Atma, I am a non-doer. So, as a non-doer, expressing in this context, and in this context, what is my duty? Is it the duty of a wife, or a husband, or a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmana, student, teacher, whatever duty, or a hangman, or a judge, with no personal intention or motive, keep aside all my personal things, I take the action with purity, then no karma. You got it? So that is the spirit in which I renunciate function. And therefore, he or she incurs no self. That is why he says, the person has no anishtam, ishtam or mishtam. You cannot hold on to the doership and then try to have no papa. It's not possible. If you continue with the doership, you will have either papa, punya or mixture. Mostly mixture. Because you are not all the time only doing papa. You are also doing some punya. Right. In majority case it is mixture. And mishram. And we are all getting that kind of a karma added to our life. And that is why he says, for a sannyasi. Sannyasi means? Who is sannyasi? A knowledgeable person. Remember that again and again. It is not possible to grow without knowledge. I told you in the beginning, sannyas is not giving up but growing up. Growing up means mature state of knowledge. The fact that you have that higher knowledge, you grow out of it. And that person will not function. He may still, his mind also will say, "Arey, arey, convenient nahi hai." Mat ko, no. Your intellect will say, no. Even though it is not convenient, it has to be done. I am prepared to do it. I will do it. Let's conclude. Kayena vacha, kayena vacha,
మనసేంద్రియైర్వా బుద్ధ్యాత్మనావా బుద్ధ్యాత్మనావా ప్రకృతే స్వభావాత్ ప్రకృతే స్వభావాత్ కరోమి అధ్య సకలం పరస్మై నారాయణాయేతి సమర్పయామి నారాయణాయేతి సమర్పయామి.